a steak, a filet mignon, and multiply it. That wasn't enough. Boom, and you have eight more. That's what they expected of him. It might sound funny, but that's what they expect from him. They didn't understand that the miracles were done to increase one's faith. These were dejected, oppressed people. They wanted to see and feel something different in their lives. So they were looking for the miracles. He gave them miracles to point them to Him, not to point them to the experience. And they may have become angry that Jesus told them that they were looking to Him for all the wrong reasons. This is what He said. Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. You're looking for Me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. The food that endures to eternal life, which is the Son of Man, which the Son of Man will give you. On Him, God the Father has placed the seal of approval." He told them that. You're looking for all these miraculous signs and all these food. We multiply the food, and that's what you're looking for. But the real food is Him Himself. The real food is the Son of Man. That's the food. And they may have become angry at that, not knowing that the miracles He did was to show them who He was. Because they were weak in spirit. He tried to give them that little spark of faith in a world that had no hope. And they totally missed the point. Just totally missed the point. They were going, following Him to seek His miracles and not to seek Him. Number three, they trusted in the opinions of others rather than His teachings. Listen to this from John 12, 42-43. "Yet at the very same time, many, even of the leaders, believed in Him." Listen to that. "Yet at the very same time, many, even of the leaders, believed in Him, but because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith, for they feared they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved praise from men more than praise from God." And it's this that sent them to the cross. Listen to Matthew 27, 22. "But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed." Not only did the crowd have doubts about this Jesus, the chief priests, the elders, the teachers of the law, who were supposed to give out right teaching, persuaded that this Jesus is a phony. He's not real. This isn't the Jesus you expected. He's a heretic. And he calls himself God, the Son of God. Imagine that. And the penalty for that is death. That's what the scholars said. That's what the scholars said. A fickle bunch they were. They would rather praise Caesar, which they did in the last moments. They give us Caesar. I mean, we worship Caesar. They would rather praise Caesar, their oppressor, than allow Jesus to be free in their lives. Isn't that something? They may have thought these things. They may have thought, well, how could they not trust those who have given them advice on religious matters? These are smart guys. Who am I? They may have said, how could they believe in this Jesus when those that know the matters of God and are educated say that He is a blasphemer and should face punishment? That's what was going on at the time. And unfortunately, the people, the crowd, trusted those in authority and were persuaded. Can you imagine that? They were persuaded this was not the Messiah they expected. They were persuaded. Note this one more time. Even many of the leaders believed in Him. Isn't that sad? Isn't that tragic? Many of the leaders believed in this Christ. They wanted that hope. They believed in this Christ. But they were persuaded out of it. And that is tragic. So there are shouts of Hosanna, Hosanna, one who saves, save me, change to crucify Him, crucify Him. Guess what? things haven't changed much in 2,000 years. The crowd reacts today just like they did back at the time of Jesus. They want Him, they want Jesus to rescue them from financial problems, marital problems, relationship problems, legal problems, health problems. Not that He isn't capable of that, but it's just that He wants us to have a relationship with Him to deliver us. And when we are rescued, after our prayers, we are rescued, what do we do? When we are delivered, what do? We undeliver ourselves, don't we? I can handle it from here, God. Thank you, God. I'm going to do the things the same way I've always done them. I'm in control now. You can smile, but it's the truth. How many said they've done that occasionally? Absolutely. It's the truth. They want a king to take care of all their problems and let him to set them free emotionally, but they don't want to have that personal relationship. They don't want him. They don't want his hope. They don't want us to place, they don't want to place all their cares on him. They don't want that peace that passes all understanding. Number two, some want an experience, not a relationship. What is it with this society? You know, we live off entertainment and show. It's not any different in Christianity. People want to see miracles. They want to see legs grown back. They want to see healings. And they want to see pieces of potatoes or even potato chips that look like Jesus. Am I wrong? Let me read something. Rosalie and Jerry Lawson of St. Peter's, Florida, found the image of Jesus Christ on a Lay's sour cream and onion potato chip. And they were ecstatic. And you know what? They didn't want to eat that potato chip. Me, I would have eaten it in a second. They saw Jesus in that. And the couple was aware of the Golden Palace online casino, which spent $20,000 for a 10-year-old grilled cheese sandwich that reportedly bears the image of the Virgin Mary. $10,600 for the pretzels that looked like the Virgin Mary cradling the infant Jesus. And $232.50 for the chicken breast that resembles the visage of the late Pope John Paul II. If you see Jesus on your food, get on eBay, guys. Because people would rather see those things and worship those things than to worship Jesus Himself. They worship the experience. They go to Christian events to feel the experience rather than to seek His presence. That's what they do. And if the miracles don't happen, and the healings don't happen, and bleeding statues are proved to be a con game, they turn against Jesus and say, this is not the Jesus we expected. And he says we ought to crucify him on our minds. He doesn't exist. He doesn't measure up to our expectations. They don't understand that the miracles are to increase their faith, not to worship the miracles, and not to worship the experience. Number three, some want a God who is a genie in the bottle, including me. We live in a society of the me generation, and many want a Jesus who is available to grant us material wealth and power. And we hear people who claim wealth and good health in the name of Jesus. And when Jesus is not their cosmic Santa Claus, they get angry and they blame Jesus or they blame themselves for not having enough faith. It's not, listen to me, it's not that we can't prosper and have wealth or good health. It's not that we can't do that. It's not that God can't provide that for us. It's just that Jesus wants us to be satisfied in everything because of our relationship with Him. The other stuff is just a plus. It's Jesus plus, maybe He'll prosper me here. The focus is Jesus. It's Jesus, but, well, he's given me good help. But it's Jesus. It's focusing on him. And last, certainly not least, some trust in the opinions of man to form their opinions of Jesus. Why is it today is we probably have a higher education? The people are probably higher educated today than ever before. And we live in a nation that promotes education. Yet, even if we are drawn to Jesus, there's peer pressure to pull us away. We are more apt to listen to the opinions of elders and teachers and certain leaders than to listen to God by studying His Word. Aren't we? I want to say this right now. If there's something that you don't believe me preaching the Word of God, you study it for yourself. You correct me when I need corrected. It's that Word we stand by. It's that Word that can't be compromised. It's our relationship with Christ that cannot be broken. We have more books out disclaiming the existence of Jesus or distorting who he is. The Da Vinci Code, Nostradamus, false prophets, they all attempt to reform our opinion of God to tell us this really isn't the Jesus that you want or isn't the Jesus that you expect. Philosopher Sam Harris, whoever he is, said this: we should be talking about real problems like nuclear proliferation and genocide and poverty and the crisis in education, Harris said in a recent interview at the TED conference in Long Beach, California. TED is a nonprofit group dedicated to ideas worth spreading. These are issues which tremendously swing in human well-being, depend on, and it's not at the center of our moral concern. Religion causes people to fixate on issues of less moral importance, says Harris, a well-known secularist, philosopher, and neuroscientist who is the author of the books The End of Faith and Letter to a Christian Nation. Religion has convinced us that there is something else entirely other than concerns about suffering. There's concerns about what God wants. There's concerns about what's going to happen in the afterlife. Well, no kidding, because I don't want to be here. Because I want an afterlife. And I want a relationship with Jesus. And we get afraid of being put out of our circle. Just like the crowd was afraid of being put out of the synagogue. Our circle of friends. And our culture is rapidly changing from being a Christian nation to having leaders, elders, and teachers persuading us that this is definitely not the Jesus we should expect. Let me show you a Palm Sunday clip. Josh? it's very important you hear this from me. And it's very important that this is clear. Jesus can rescue us in many ways. Jesus can and does perform miracles. He does show us miraculous signs. And we should be open to those leaders that are preaching the Word of God correctly. But if we don't have Him, we have absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. And more than anything, He wants you to experience a personal relationship with Him. And He came on that donkey 2,000 years ago, and Scripture says that when He started down the hill into the city, that He wept. He wept because He knew that to many, He would not be what they expected. He wept because some will not accept Him. He wept that even the leaders, the elders and teachers of the Jewish faith that He came to be accepted by would reject Him and try to kill Him. And He wept because even His friends, the disciples, His close followers would doubt who He was. And regardless of that, He freely went to the cross to shed His blood for our salvation. And He wept, knowing that they would crucify Him. And in this celebration, as they're throwing their coats down in front of them and waving the palm branch, He knew how fickle they were and how most would turn on Him because He wasn't what they wanted. And one of the last sentences that He gave in His dying breath was this: "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." And He was forgiving us as we were yet sinners, as we were yet crucifying Him and rejecting Him. So the question is this: was it the crowd that sent Jesus to the cross? You're going to have to make the call on that one. All I know is for me, is that my life with Jesus is much more than I expect. And He offers me so much more than what I am entitled to. And He gives me so much peace that passes all understanding. And He gives me forgiveness when I certainly don't deserve it in certain situations. And gives me love and security that I can't find in material things, people, wealth and power. And nothing, but nothing fills that void in my heart but a relationship with Jesus Christ. So in closing, the question to all of you is, what's the deal with you? Is He everything you expect? Is He your cosmic Santa Claus, your political king, your miracle worker? Or is He your personal Savior, the Messiah that was sent to free us from slavery and sin? Will we still be the one to say, "Crucify, crucify," or will we seek a deeper relationship who made the ultimate sacrifice for us by dying for our sins? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You so much, and we come before You in our own way, apologizing for those things that we place our focus on. Help us, Lord, to continually place our focus on You, knowing it's that through You that we are changed. Through You that we have a peace that passes understanding. Through You and Your death on the cross, that You have forgiven us and given us new life. Allow us to hang on to that life. I thank You, Lord, for giving many of us more than what we expected in a Savior. And we lift You up for that. I also ask, Lord, if there's somebody here that doesn't have a relationship with Christ and they want one, here's a story. It's a simple prayer, but the walk is tough because people will persuade you out of a life with Him. The prayer is, "Dear Lord, I repent of my sins and I turn to You and I ask You, Lord, and accept You as my personal Savior. That's the prayer. And those that don't have a relationship with Christ, that want a deeper relationship with Christ, that have never accepted Christ, I ask that you say that prayer like many of us have. Say that prayer. I repent of my sins, Lord, and I don't want to send you to the cross. And I understand that you came to save me. And Lord, I want to run to you and accept you as that Savior. If you made that commitment for the first time, if you said that prayer in your heart, I want to pray for you. I just want you to raise your hand. Put your hand up and right back down. Put your hand up and right down. Dear Heavenly Father, help us to seek out more of you. Help us to know that the miracles was to demonstrate you, not to be on a pedestal. Help us to understand that images on a potato chip was to remind us of your greatness and not to sell on the market for $20,000. Help us to understand, Lord, that they will be out there to persuade us from this relationship. Help us, Lord, to stand tall and to explain to them how you are much more than what we expect. We lift these prayers up to you, Lord. We thank you for your presence today as the anointing was here. We praise your name, the name above all others, Hosanna. Praise your name. In Jesus' name. Amen.